He is Tyler Lawler.
Ayo.
That is Logan Morris.
Omaha.
And I am AJ Appeal, and this is episode number 12 of Race Appeal Radio, titled Sam's Hornish. Gentlemen, how the hell are you?
Oh, it's great to be back. 12 already, can you believe?
Yeah, 12. Three months in.
12.
How you doing, man?
Dude.
Come on, say something.
6 foot up, not 6 foot down, man. Can't complain.
But I'm 6 foot.
Actually, 5'10" up, not 5'10" down.
That works. From Columbus, Ohio, Studio 1396, this is Race Appeal Radio, and we want to welcome you to episode number 12 here on the show. We're glad to have anybody here who's tuned in, and if you're watching this live, hi.
Hi.
If you're watching this later on, well,
hello.
I guess that was cool, too. We've got a nice little DVR feature, right? Yeah. Thanks to our friends at Facebook.
Sometimes they're friends, other times they're... Let's censor this.
That's true.
Hey, yep. Don't be bashing the book face.
Look, the book face? The face of books?
Let me tell you something, Zuckerberg. I love you.
You love Zuckerberg?
I love everybody. That's what...
Oh, we got all the different cameras going here. All right, there we go. We're good now.
That's what we're called to do. I love everybody.
Oh, well.
Sorry, I had to...
I love you.
Had to publish that.
And I love the ring.
Too soon.
That's just me.
We got a little bit of dog action.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with... We love dogs, we love birds, we love... Anywho, how about Pocono, and how about your winner?
That's right. Let's get a hold of Pocono and your winner, Logan Morris. Gentlemen, he wins again. I'm getting a little bit fed up with...
I've mastered the tricky triangle, if you will.
You did. You did pretty well with that, and we're glad that you won.
I know that you are.
We're thrilled.
Yeah. In case you don't know, listeners, the biggest rival in my world is AJ Appeal. He happens to run the league, and he has it out for me. If you watch any WWE in the Attitude Era, he's Vince McMahon. I'm going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's a tyrant. I got to take him down. So that's how it's going to work. As long as I'm beating AJ Appeal every week, I'm a happy man, and I'm beating Tyler Lawler for good measure too. Because, frankly, what we have here is there's four wins in this room, and that would be two for me and two for her. None for the so-called big dogs over here. So I just want you all to know that as much as they hype up how glad they are, and boy, they're excited and fired up, I think the only one really taking notes here are me and the P-Money, the first lady of the league. I genuinely believe that we're the only ones that really pay attention to this podcast every week because... You know, he's finally coming up to about 13th, AJ is. There's nothing to like about that. We have some... that's gotta go. But
I don't think it's maybe as loud to everybody listening.
Well, it's loud to me, and I'm the two-time winner here, and you haven't won a single thing.
We wanted to take a look out and see that we've got some watchers here. We have TJ Boldman, Daniel Foster, and Kevin Rao. And Kevin was the first to comment tonight. He says, I need to get some expert info to climb out of the basement.
Expert info.
I tell you, after that Coke 600, we had 1,000 points for eight players, and that one really shuffled it up. When Keith won that race, and then now that you've got your Pocono wins, you're up to two wins. Peyton with her two wins. Zach with two wins. I've still got a big goose egg along with a lot of other players. So
and Peyton and I are making it our life's mission to make sure you keep that goose egg.
I tell you, we're working pretty well on it. I want to remind everybody today that if you're watching, Liquid Ice Energy is what we drink here on set. And if you don't know about Liquid Ice Energy, ask somebody. If they don't know about them, smack somebody. Liquid Ice Energy, high performance. We're here to talk about a little racing, though. Martin Truex Jr. wins Pocono. 22 of the last 30 races have been won by Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, or Kevin Harvick. And that leads to some discussion we'll talk about later. Were you surprised that he won at Pocono, Logan?
Yeah, I went out on a limb, to be honest, because I thought your favorites were, as usual, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. And so I went ahead and went out on the particular limb of, let's go ahead and take Truex and see if he does well enough. And I know that it was, I believe Keith also took, if I'm not mistaken, Keith also took Martin Truex. But what settled it for me and Keith was he took Daniel Suarez, and I took my boy. We'll talk about him later on, sure, but my boy Chase Elliott.
Last place, Chase.
Oh, for Pete's sake, he finished 10th this week. And that's what settled it.
Ooh, 10th place.
I'm going to tell you something. Oh, wait till we get to talking about the Chevy resurrection that's taking place in NASCAR.
Let's do it.
You want to do it right now?
No. Yeah, let's switch over.
Okay. Let's talk
Chevrolet
about,
getting better and bigger.
Let's talk about Chevrolet.
Oh, dude.
Whoops. Let's talk about Chevrolet. I'm all fired up about Chevrolet, so I had Liquid Ice flying. I had mics being hit. And I want to tell you, Chase Elliott is dangerously close to getting a win at Michigan this week.
Because
Chevy dominates.
Chevrolet's doing really well right now.
Chevy dominates Michigan really and Kyle Larson. And all of a sudden, because three of the top 10 finishers, we have got all sorts of...
You have to talk into the microphone.
Look, I had not heard any complaints on the podcast feedback. Am I not loud enough, listeners? TJ, tell me something. Am I loud enough? And do we need to make Tyler quieter?
Don't bring TJ into this.
But anybody, am I loud enough?
No one asked for TJ's opinion.
But anywho, I got serious. I got serious thing here. Three of the top 10 were Chevy. Has that happened yet this year?
I don't know.
No. So that right there tells you that they're getting things figured out. Old Seven Time is creeping. He's lurking like a peeping Tom. He's getting closer. He's got his binoculars on, if you will. Chase Elliott has drove the best two races of his career the last 2 weeks. And yeah, it's not resulting in the finishes you want, but keep in mind he went to the pits with 12 laps to go in this race at Pocono.
Yeah.
And he still managed to crack out of
top
10.
Yeah, so that sounds like bad pit strategy.
So if you look down at the bottom of the screen here, you've got the Chase Elliott win count. And where are we? Where he got a big zero. After 92 races, Chase Elliott still winless. But you mentioned his last 2 weeks. You're absolutely right. The best he's ever driven was at the Coke 600.
Tyler, did you hear that?
And on Sunday with
AJ just said I was absolutely right.
You were. Chase Elliott is on a tear right now. His mental focus is stronger. And if you remember his first two top fives, they took place in California and Michigan, which are 2 mile tracks. We're back at Michigan, 2 mile track this week.
I'm telling you,
Chase Elliott's the man to pick.
Chase Elliott might just get the W this week. I've already got my picks made. I was third, so I have a nice, nice bonus. And if you're smart, you'll follow me.
When you look at what Chevrolet's done for the last 3 weeks.
Get a win, then
weeks,
talk to me.
They're doing very well. Even Jimmy Johnson pulled out a top five at Charlotte.
Yes.
Somebody who's been the anchor of the team Chevrolet.
And then Chase had a very, he raced better, but he had 11th at Charlotte. So I think Chevrolet is coming.
I don't know if they'll win or not, but when you take the combination of Larson and Elliott, and Michigan, when Chevy's got a trending.
Chevy wins this week, people.
Chevrolet's the way to go.
Chevy wins this week.
It's going to be a Ford, and it's going to be my boy, Almirola.
I just want to ask you listeners a question, and I know you can't technically answer me, but would
they
you,
can. They've been answering
got,
you the whole time.
Our comment stream.
But,
they hear
okay,
you just
okay,
fine.
Okay.
No, TJ's comments don't count.
Would you trust me, the 2017 champion and two-time winner this year? Or would you trust...
Okay, so what do you think is the cause for Chevrolet doing better? So they've had their last win, with the exception of the Daytona 500, it was nearly 20 races ago. Mm-hmm. So this was even before the Camaro. Yeah. What do you think is making Chevrolet better?
It's definitely that they're just building. They're learning. They're taking all of their stats. They're taking all their numbers over the past... How many races have there been? 13?
There's been 13 this year.
Over the past 13 races, and they're learning. They're getting it figured out.
That's... And you can only hold it. You can only hold a manufacturer, but especially a team like, let's say specifically Hendrick, down so long. We know they have the talent. And we know they have the stats. We know they have the personnel to figure it out. And it's just, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yep.
It's time.
Sure.
It's time.
I think if they're going to win in the summer, this is the race.
And this week, I don't know if it'll be a Hendrick driver. Right. I'm sure hoping it's my Hendrick driver.
Wrong.
But I said I don't know. But I hope that they crack this mother wide open.
Do we have any bets going on if Chase wins this year?
No, but I can promise you that podcast, whenever that takes place, whenever
you won't be here for that one.
Oh, I'll be here. I'll call in if somebody
doesn't get me. Have Logan out of studio when Chase earns his first win. He is 0-92, but this is definitely looking to be.
Peyton's going to be gone and not be able to, take him here.
All right.
Don't you do that to me.
Let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
Everybody, let's bring our tone down to a zero.
Let's have a little
class.
Because
we're at about 100 right now.
I'm going to need to have
a little bit of class.
I'm fired up this week.
Something that we discussed in detail within the league, as a public forum, as well as the moderators. We've never done this before in all of our years, and we're discussing a potential rule change or concept change.
Let's start out by saying we are three of the five moderators.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I know I post a lot as an admin. We have five admin in our group. It's myself, these two gentlemen, James and Mike Daffner. we as a team run this deal. Due to what crazy performance we're seeing out of MTJ, Kyle Busch, and Kevin Harvick.
It's nuts.
It is.
We're considering Class A being exclusive to those three drivers.
Yeah.
Class B would become what we know the Class A is now, mm-hmm. and Class C would then... And the point is, I've always been a fan, and I think these gentlemen are, of a diversity of driver picks. Okay? And right now, about 80% of the players are picking those three drivers. Right. So that this way we could still all have these drivers. There'd be no penalty for not picking the race winners. Right. We're not going to remove them.
Right, right, right.
They're not going anywhere.
So with that, would you make the points less?
It would just be we would have three picks. So everybody's totals would be higher.
So you would get higher totals, right?
Well, what are the poll results? You took a poll. What are the poll results?
We took a poll, and the last I saw, 11 people were in favor of switching now. Five people were not, and a handful had not voted. Hmm. I was actually one of the people who voted against this, and the point is, I don't like doing changes in the middle of the season. That was my biggest issue, although I think it's a good idea. I think that it's the wrong time.
So, I would like to see it implemented as soon as possible, but at the same time, I do understand that the dominance won't last forever. There's a chance that it might not last the rest of the year. Who knows what could take place with Chevy on the way up? So what I'm curious is, I want more in depth detail from our listeners, members of our league. Do you really want it to take place this year? Do you want it next year if their dominance picks up? Let us know, because we are as conflicted as a love triangle here, and because part of me wants it because of the fact of, hey, those three have absolutely dominated. So, but what we need from all of you, we need your sincere, full-fledged, I'm talking about, type a paragraph out of what you think should the change take place, and when should it happen?
I think that everybody was really vocal. We had a lot of opinions that night.
So,
I'm looking at an updated poll results. It looks like it's 13-5 in favor of a change right now.
So it's
very popular. And that included...
It has been seen by everyone. It does say that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. That includes, the four of you gentlemen all saying... Yeah. Make the move.
I am for making the move after the off week.
So
that's me.
Me and Logan are for it,
which is a real rarity.
I don't know where James is, but I know you and Mike are against it. Let's see. It doesn't look like James is against it, so I don't know.
So we want to make sure that
James is for it. So
we really value everybody's opinions,
right?
Obviously, we try to make a lot of like prestige and history out of this league.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a democracy,
I see your comment here, Daniel. We made it really clear that if we did move forward with this class and somebody else got on a tear and they're winning 3 out of 7 races or something, they're going to be moved into that class as well.
Right.
Drivers already under our current system switch between A and B based on performance and standings. Under the new system, it would be the same. There would just be three classes for them. And there's nobody right now who we could argue deserves to be in a category with those three
if we're doing an elite class.
When do you think, when do you think we might reach a final decision here?
So driver picks have been open for several days for Michigan already. Right. We're not going to do anything this week.
Right, correct. Of course.
I know that it seems like we're leaning towards it. This isn't meant to be a tease. My thing is, it's very easy for us to pick one of these three drivers every week.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody thinks Kurt Busch is going to win randomly, they can't comfortably pick Kurt Busch because they want these three. I want you still be able to have faith in who you think might win and still be able to get the bonus points for these three drivers who are winning 73% of the races.
My question, you work harder, and I think Tyler would agree with this, you work harder than all of us admins to run this league.
Right.
How much more work would it create for you if we made this change?
30 seconds.
So, I mean, internally, I think there's some selfishness there because there's a lot of programming and stuff on the back end. But that wouldn't decide an official decision.
I do feel, as much as I'm for the change right now because of the extreme circumstances we're under, I don't like the idea of making mid-season changes usually, but I feel this is such a unique circumstance that it feels like, and it's terrible, it's kind of gone this way. It feels like if you don't take one of those three, you're guaranteed to not have a shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you look at Lawler, for example. We agree, but I don't pick on it.
Right.
Eric Almirola is his go-to right now.
Right. Yeah.
If Almirola wins, he's in the playoffs.
Yeah,
just like that.
Coming for you.
But if he doesn't, how do you pick Almirola over Kyle Busch.
Right.
You know, it was really, really hard this week to not pick Harvick and pick Almirola. But I made the statement that I'm going to stick with Almirola and ride the coattails and hope that he gets a win this year.
Well, I can't speak for like Heath, but the reason I went with Truex is is everybody, because Truex is still kind of the forgotten man of the big three, if you will, that we currently have. I went with Truex simply because, you know, he seems to be the forgotten man. Everyone seems to be taking Harvick and Busch, where if you take Harvick and Busch and you're not winning the pole or having the second or third position, you have a good finish, but you have no chance of winning.
Right.
And as the great Herm Edwards once said at a great press conference, why do we play? Well, you play to win.
Well, exactly,
the
like last week.
What are those?
Last week we had, or I had podcast. I had some of my best, or I had my best finish. Oh my God!
We're gonna take a little bit of a break. Yes. And, we'll be right back. You're listening to Race Appeal Radio. And we are back here on Race Appeal Radio. Remember, today's episode of Race Appeal Radio is brought to you by our friends at Liquid Ice Energy. Liquid Ice Energy, high performance. We got a little bit of a good discussion going here. We're talking about the potential of working into a change this year, in which we would have three classes other than two. We want to say hello to Kyle Finley. Thank you for tuning in. We've definitely got some strong opinions. I think that this is going to happen. Okay, I'll move forward and say that. Even as
I'll
take the leader role here and say this will happen. The question is, do we do it this season, and if we do, when, or do we do it next season?
Well, if we do it next season, it's going to be a little different. You know what I mean? Because like right now, these are the three guys. These are the three hot guys now as we sit. You know, next season. It may be totally different,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Because Jimmy Johnson, I hate to say it, but Chase Elliott or any of the other decent Chevrolet drivers may take the wheel here and become a better driver. So at what point do we say go?
I think it only should right now apply to this year, because, you know, we're big baseball fans, Aaron. You know how many times we hear the stat, well, so-and-so has done so well against this team. But the team changes every year.
Right.
The sport changes every year.
Right.
So there's no guarantee that Truex, Harvick, and Busch, they very well could be, but there is not a guarantee
and then,
they continue this hot run that they're currently on.
Absolutely.
And then next year, isn't Ford changing?
Yeah, Ford will be running the Mustang. Yeah.
So and next year, you're going to have a different Ford car.
So your Stuart Haas boys are going to take a step back probably for the first half of the year.
Absolutely.
At least.
Well, they're not first half of the year racers anyway.
We'll see what happens.
Except for Harvick. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, it's hard to say. To me, this is what tore me up on this decision is if we do it this year and we start, say, next week, week after, whatever it is, do we continue it over to the following season? And if so, who are the top three drivers next season? Are we going to do after Daytona? Are we going to do, I mean, at what point do we start back up? This new model.
This is just my opinion. I think
no one wants it.
All right. I don't know why I'm an admin here, people. But I think that we have this off week coming up after Michigan to make this decision. And if it doesn't happen, it probably shouldn't happen this year because it needs to be a substantial amount of time enough to really make an impact. You know, if you do it the last 8 or 9 races, you know what I mean? And then I think that it should be reevaluated in the offseason. We'll have our winter meetings. I think it should not be a concrete, here's how it's going to be from now on. I think it's extreme circumstance. I think we play it that way based on how it's currently going. And I think we as a team, the five of us, have our winter meetings and we discuss it then and see how it went.
We'll see how things go with all of this. There will be an announcement, you know, because we've teased it enough that we need to make our decision known.
Right.
So whenever everything's settled, we'll talk about it. We want to say thank you to everybody who's been a part of these discussions. It's been usually we don't try to have debates as to the rules. You know, the rules are set in stone. We give them to you at the start of the season. We're watching something very unique. I don't know about it being historic, but it's very unique as far as, you know, at no era So, with the exception of the 60s and 70s, with Petty and Pearson, did a specific group of players dominate or drivers dominate the sport?
Yeah. And so
hold on a second.
Go ahead, buddy.
Daniel just posted or commented that he said to take the championship four from Homestead and make them Class A. So that's definitely something to think about when we have this next discussion.
I see that. I also like his idea of the first five races. I don't know if you're aware, Daniel, at the first five races, we actually have always maintained we don't switch drivers back and forth because what if you crash a Daytona? That doesn't mean that you should be in Class B or Class C if there was one. Yeah. So I like that class, first five races concept as well.
Like I said, I think that we should, this is just me, there's been no decision made. As you can tell, it's hotly contested. I think we should implement it. I think we should implement it after the off week here. And then I think we should completely reevaluate how it went in our winter meetings. That's just my thought.
Absolutely.
I'd like to take a look back at players who have won in our league this year.
Right. Well.
And see if anybody has won without picking those three drivers. I'm not sure that's happened this year with the exception of Daytona because those three drivers all crashed.
Yes. That would absolutely be something to look into.
I'm going
to
take a good look at that, and we'll take a look and see because that's the thing. Is it possible in a competitive league like we've got to pick somebody else and still win a
I think
league
that
of
McPherson has gotten all of his wins off of a Kevin Harvick pick. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Which is fine.
No, absolutely.
Pick the same driver every week.
I'm just saying right now he's at the top of the list, right?
And I know that Peyton's two wins here are off Kyle Busch.
Absolutely. By the way, Peyton has the all-time record, two wins in 6 days.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
That'll never be beaten again.
She was like,
you can't touch it. You can't. It's Joe Nuxall in the majors because you can only sign a contract now when you're 16.
That's right. That's right.
So you'll never – people – could tie that record. But
should we put Matt Kenseth in a potential Class A?
No.
Not now. There was a time.
So, I once again, I want to say thank you to everybody who's had opinions on this. It shows that everybody really cares and is interested in this league and making it fun. And it's why we started a podcast, because there's so much discussion week to week. Yeah. Something that was a lot of discussion this week was Steve Phelps had a press conference prior to the race weekend, and he said that they had such a good feedback from the All-Star package. And they've commented on this in the past. They're considering running restrictor plates at least three cup races, maybe even in the playoffs this year. It'll be the exact same aerodynamic package as the All-Star at Charlotte 3 weeks ago. It's going to really even out the field. Restrictor plates have been in the two plate tracks, Daytona Talladega, for about 20, 25 years now. To think that they would run in the playoffs at
that. I don't like
that
idea.
It's wild.
Because I don't want it.
No, I don't want it. You're basically just – you're taking all these drivers that have performed highly and then
dumbing it down. It's diluting it. It's putting water in your Kool-Aid, so to speak, or turning the punch
bowl. I understand why they do it at the few tracks that they do it. I said do.
Yeah. But that makes it special, and you take away the unique feel.
Well, they do it so the cars don't just like start flying into the grandstand,
But that fits those tracks.
Right.
When you make it a safety matter, I've been very vocal.
Absolutely.
I don't care if the racing gets worse if it's for the driver's safety.
Exactly.
Some players disagree, and that's fine, but I've always said safety first.
Yeah,
This All-Star package has nothing to do with safety.
Nothing.
They want to bunch cars together, and while I would love to see Michael McDowell kick ass at a race, that's not... You can't give it to him.
Yeah, and this is coming from... And this ought to tell you all you need to know. I'm a guy that I don't like to watch a driver absolutely dominate, but just because there is a domination doesn't mean we need to change anything.
Right.
Those other drivers and other manufacturers need to step up their game. Nothing should be changed to dumb down the field, so to speak.
Right.
It should no one should have to be carried. We know who the three guys are to beat this season. It's everyone else's job to catch up.
Yep.
Don't take away what they've earned.
Right.
So we make our picks and our rules in our league to try to, replicate what they have on track.
Kind of mirror.
However, we aren't spending millions of dollars on our race cars to be the best. When you've earned that being the best...
I wish I had millions of dollars for
you deserve
car.
To maintain that status of being the best. And when somebody beats you, you've either done something wrong or they're catching you.
Right.
And that's the way the sport has always been, and that's the way it should be. That, I understand, I'm not a big traditionalist. I was very in favor of stage racing, but there is one thing you can't take away the natural dominance, especially something so historic that we're seeing this year between three drivers, you can't do that. It would just be, I know that more competitive races, it's fun to watch. Yeah, car crashes, bunched up. But it is not right. It is not fair. It is not what the league needs for the league to be dumbed down or watered down or diluted just so that everyone else can catch up. If you are so good, if Chase Elliott is as good as I think he really is, he and the Hendrick guys should be able to catch up to the big three. Kyle Larson, right. Same thing. So this idea that we want more competitive racing and things like that.
Speaking of Kyle Larson, where has he been this year?
Well,
he's fourth in power rankings. He's finished.
Right. He's kind of much better lately. He's kind of like, to me, he's kind of like Jimmy Johnson right now. Kind of just quietly doing okay. Quietly,
they're both in the playoffs right now.
Quietly doing respectable. Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson's in the playoffs, guys, by the way. Yeah. I keep saying he's not over. He's not.
Well, I mean, this time last year, Larson had like 57 wins.
I think he had two. But
yeah.
This time last year, Jimmy only had one, and he has zero this year.
Right.
He's in 11th in points. Jimmy Johnson's not going anywhere. Ryan Blaney and Denny Hamlin haven't won, and they're not going anywhere.
Jimmy Johnson, the best he can hope to be, in my opinion, is he can be Jeff Gordon towards the end. Competitive, but he's not going to win. He's not going to win another championship.
You take these drivers that haven't won yet, putting an all-star package might give them that extra win.
Right.
And I don't. But I am. If it happens, it happens. And if it benefits Chase Elliott, that's great. But I don't want that at all. I want no questions or if, ands, or buts. When anyone else finally catches the big three we have here, I am firmly against the idea of using that package, especially in playoff races.
Right. Playoff races is like when men are men and women enjoy it.
That's where you separate the men from the boys and you give it everything you got. If you're not good enough, that's what the playoffs are for.
Right.
It separates who's who.
Right.
So to dilute that is just, I mean, That's trash. That's garbage. That's wrong. That's taking away the competitiveness. It's taking away what NASCAR's about. No one was complaining when Richard Petty was dominating or when Dale Sr. was dominating. No one was going, we got to have a better package. Every driver was going, hey, we got to figure out a way to beat this guy.
Exactly.
And that's the mentality that everyone should have in that garage. And fans should, because I think it's fan driven. I think it's because I go through.
I think we use the word fan really loosely in this sport.
Right.
People who happen to tune in to Fox and say this is boring are not a fan. Now, you can be a fan and then say, oh, today's race is boring.
That's where I was going with this, is I absolutely think that they're trying to gear towards getting all of these cars into one giant pack and have them race each other.
Yeah.
And then that way when people or viewers are tuning in,
they go, look at this.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is awesome. Let's watch it rather than seeing four cars.
And I think that is what this is based off of. I don't know that.
Where it made sense was when they did this at the All-Star. Because for those of you who are familiar with the old IROC series, you took all of the champions from every form of racing. And what they did is they gave them exactly identical race cars created by the league so that they could have a race of champions.
Right.
It was pure talent. At the All-Star, you have to earn your way into that race by winning races, and then your cars are identical with the aerodynamic package.
Right.
It worked at the All-Star. You can't do that with championship races.
Because the All-Star is an exhibition race. The All-Star is like the All-Star game in baseball. It's just nice to get all the boys together and let's have at it.
And but the racing was great at the All-Star.
But especially the playoffs, you know, the regular season, okay. But especially the playoffs, it's where you separate the men from the boys, you see who really is the champion, and to delude that anyway is a travesty, and it is cheating whoever the top drivers are at that point, but right now the top are big three that we're discussing.
Right. Heaven forbid it's one of the road courses.
Yeah,
one of the greatest things about road courses is that you've got a 25-second lead if you're the leader. Suddenly you've got a 3-second lead over the whole field.
I think that it's something totally different, though, between for a road course and a circle track, though.
They haven't said any even sneak
previews. No, I mean
tracks,
it doesn't
though.
Matter. I think it doesn't matter as long as you...
Your top speed is too low.
Oh,
that's
so
where it would matter.
It's stopping that. Okay. Yeah. But I was going to say, as long as you can hold your line
speeds
and get the better.
As well.
Gotcha.
But the funny thing about this is, again, I don't think this is because of guys like us, guys and gals who are in this league that are a little bit of NASCAR geeks, and we love the game, we love the sport, we love watching. I think this is because if you go on NASCAR and Fox's Facebook page or NASCAR and NBC, and I look a lot at comments,
yeah.
I see every week how boring it is. I'm talking about hundreds of comments, how boring it is to watch the big three dominate. I mean, I see tons of them because I, you know, if anyone watches me in the group, I share a lot of NASCAR and NBC and Fox posts. And I see all the comments, and so many are, this is boring, this is not what we want, da 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 da. And they frankly just don't understand the sport, quite honestly.
Exactly.
Well, but I'm saying, I think that loud majority or whatever, that vocal group, maybe it's a vocal minority, I think that vocal group is driving this.
I think you're right. I think, in addition to that, I think NASCAR and NBC, whoever's running their social media pages is awesome.
I love them. Yeah.
What they do online on NASCAR on NBC is far greater than the NASCAR on Fox online crew.
No question about it.
NASCAR on NBC's analyst Kyle Petty and his wife just welcomed their first child together. Morgan Petty gave birth to Overton Petty. I had to think about his first name. It's funny how Overton joins NASCAR as a premier sponsor last year.
Yeah.
And suddenly that's the name of Kyle Petty's son, Richard Petty's new grandson, Overton. And when we come back, we'll talk about maybe Overton Petty will he race someday?
Could he take the throne?
You're watching 2044 Race Appeal Radio, brought to you by Liquid Ice. We'll be right back. We are back here on Race Appeal Radio, and Race Appeal Radio is brought to you by Liquid Ice. Liquid Ice Energy High Performance. If you don't know about him, ax somebody. If they don't know about him, smack somebody. Liquid Ice Energy.
I moved across the table from Logan. Now I can't smack him.
Yeah.
That's all right. You'll get used to it. I've never been able to smack Logan, and trust me, I've wanted to smack Logan.
Come on back here.
So we were talking quite a bit about All-Star Package.
Would you like to make the smacks rain?
No, okay. No. briefly, Lawler, you stepped out of the arena here.
I have dogs for sale.
I saw that, or you had mentioned during the break, you miss IROC. Well, Daniel's commenting he misses IROC.
Yeah.
I do rock.
Something interesting we've talked about, friends, and I want to get some thoughts here. Before we talk about the Petty family, last year, for those of you who don't know, we had a fantasy league for the Cup Series.
Yep.
For the Xfinity Series,
yep.
And for the Camping World Truck Series.
And I just want to say something. I was the first MF-er to win a Truck Series.
Can we say
race.
MF-er?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, you were the first. We had...
He was the first trucker, the first mother trucker.
We had different leagues.
Yep.
Varying amounts of interest between the leagues.
Right.
And what was interesting was they didn't have the same players the whole way across. Some
correct.
People, a couple, I don't remember who, but a couple were in one league and a couple were in another. And
I'm so glad TJ's not watching right now.
Along the lines of the IROG series, we may do a spinoff series in 2019 where it would only be maybe anywhere between 5 and 10 races, probably on the low end, because IROG had no more than 8 races ever.
Right.
They didn't run a lot of races. They had a season that was as short as 4 races.
Mm-hmm.
We would have the Indy 500.
Right.
We would have probably the Eldora Truck Race.
Mm-hmm.
It would only be a handful of races, and it would be a little crown jewel series where you would...
Probably an F1 race, too.
Probably Monaco,
yeah.
Very much so. Maybe the American Grand Prix in Texas.
Well, if we
F1.
Do Monaco, we can't... Can you do 2 races in a day?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Teach his own.
We're hardworking drivers.
We won't do that this season, but we have so much interest this season and what we're doing with Cup, that
right.
There's a really good chance that we could add some more in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to most of our admin team about that, And I think it's something that we will probably move forward with. So if you're interested in more, it's going to be out there. If you're not, that's fine. It won't affect your cup season that we do here in the Fantasy League.
But why wouldn't you want more?
I always enjoyed having multiple series last year.
The only downfall is just a lot of work on your end.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work on his end.
I want people to really enjoy it. If we're not going to enjoy it as a group, then it's not necessarily worth it.
I was personally disappointed last year when you shut down. I didn't so much care about the truck, but I was disappointed that you shut down the Xfinity series.
Limited picks.
Yeah.
But talking about young talent, we've got Rookie of the Year 2040 as our headline right now at the top of your screen. And Kyle Petty and Morgan Petty welcoming their child. So here's why I mention this as a talking point.
It's the circle.
There are young fans in the 1990s who believe that Adam Petty may have been the most talented driver that ever touched a race car. Lot of fans say that, and he only ran. I'm not sure if I should know this. I'm not sure if he ever made his Cup debut, but I know that he ran a lot of ARCA. He ran some Busch races at the time when it was known as the Busch Series. And there are plenty of fans who believe he was the most talented driver ever. Not one of. Like, that he had the raw, petty talent, okay?
He was the hair apparent.
Tragically, he died. Mm-hmm. And this young baby now is his brother.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It's a very old couple. They're in their 60s and they're having babies, but more power to them, okay? My thought process here... Bubba Wallace won't be with Petty forever. He's either going to do really well and switch over to a different team, or he's going to fail out. Right. Richard Petty and Bubba are not here to stay, okay? Right. Brett Moffitt and Thad Moffitt are working their way up, and those are also relatives. I believe they're the grandchildren of Richard Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Moffitt pulled an eighth place several years ago running Toyotas for Michael Waltrip. He's been in the Cup Series. He was a Rookie of the Year contender. He's been around.
Mm-hmm.
Thad Moffitt... he's very good at the equipment he's got, but I don't see him ever making it. So let's say Brett Moffitt makes it back into the Cup Series.
Okay, Brett Moffitt.
Is Brett Moffitt the last Petty? Or do you think the Petty family will try to guide this baby into it? And it's weird to talk about a baby. He's like a day or two old. Right. But we talked about it when Gordon's kids were born. We talked about it when Dale Jr.'s daughter was born.
Yeah.
With every young generation, they talk about happen. You look at Kyle Busch. Brexton Busch will race Cup.
Yep.
Tell me I'm wrong and you're out of your damn mind. Brexton Busch will run the Cup Series.
What about Keelan?
Keelan Harvick, very likely.
I believe very firmly that there's a great chance that this new Petty will be steered towards the direction of... because if... especially it, however long the good Lord gives Richard, because he likes the idea...
I don't want to see Richard Petty, 95 years old, walking around the garage.
But he might.
Dude's going to live to be 112.
I'd love to see him live a long, healthy life. I don't want to see him walking the garage
and
at 95.
And he's going to walk the garage until his very last day. That's just who he is.
He'll be crazy to think the garage.
Kyle Petty distance
he'll be like, he'll be like Tony Stewart and have his own little freaking motor scooter.
Yeah, perhaps. And I'll be scooting because he'll still be in charge of Petty Enterprises. So I think there's a good chance that, yes, they try.
Richard Petty Motorsports.
Yeah. Whatever it may be. But nonetheless... But to answer the question, I think there's a good chance because I don't think they want their legacy to end.
Do you think we're getting to a point where families, you have to be in the family to make it into the Cup Series? Or do you think that you could even, with the exception of money, John Menard bought his career.
Right.
And Paul Menard is a talented driver.
He's won
great races.
Right.
However, if without John Menard's money, Paul wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same with Jeffrey Earnhardt without the last name. Right. So are we into a point where young drivers can earn their way in? You have Ty Majeski. He made it in racing iRacing.
Right.
Chris Buescher made it in. What else?
No name for him, yeah.
What else? Do you think that we can keep seeing more and more of that?
It's very likely.
I think NASCAR wants that.
Look at Natalie Decker. She has no relatives. No. Right. Jesse Owusu, he has the military backing, but he has no relatives
in the sport. He has no link to it.
You look at Dylan Kwasniewski. He kind of flunked out, but he had no relatives. Is this a new trend?
I think NASCAR wants that because those last names are marketing.
Right. The name absolutely.
The name Petty, the name Earnhardt. I mean, you instantly are a bit of a star. I mean, Jeffrey Earnhardt has a built. Now it's not.
What's wrong with starting a new trend, though?
What's going to sell more money? A shirt that says Earnhardt on it, or a shirt that says England on it?
Yeah, exactly. It's not anything wrong with certain nutrients. That's just not the world we're living in nowadays. That's why you have, even in the world of television, you have reboots, and there's nothing new anymore. We just want to go with, for better or worse.
It's a comfort. It's a comfort thing.
For better or worse, we go, hey, this works.
Well, right. I mean, so Kyle Busch became a star before he was hated by the country because his brother was famous.
Right.
And then he became hated by the country.
It happens, like I said, it's just the world we're living in. It's not just NASCAR. Right. It's everything.
Well, the newest member of that would be Chase Elliott. Outside of Chase, I don't know of any like superstar that has a family member's name in the Cup Series right now. I mean, Kyle has made himself a name after
Kyle
all these
is
years.
A bigger name than Kurt.
Without a doubt, no question. So I think Chase Elliott's the only person now. The biggest name that's made it for himself without relatives is Kyle Larson.
Tony Stewart.
Martin Truex. Well, he's out. I mean, of our current
run. I got you.
Martin Truex's father is a NASCAR driver. People forget that. Okay, now he's made a bigger name.
Right.
I saw his brother. Ryan. His brother's driving.
Right. Ryan's been around.
Right. I saw the name last week when I was watching the Xfinity race or whatever. And I had to Google. I was like, is that it? So do you think he's going to?
No, he already has made his Cup debut. He raced for Michael Waltrip Racing years ago. So he went back down.
Why do all these drivers you keep talking about are...
Martin Truex raced for Michael Waltrip.
Yeah. Old Napa know-how.
Chase Elliott.
Aaron's is an old developmental sponsor. So they found Chase before Hendrick found Chase. They found... You know, a lot of Waltrip's drivers. David Reagan was an Aaron's driver. A lot of Brian Vickers came back because of Aaron's.
My dude.
David Rudeman was founded with Aaron's.
But I think that's why it's not
Michael Waltrip. It's Aaron's sponsor.
I think it's just society as a whole. We're in this no new zone right now. It's reboots. It's hey, this works. Hey, look at that name. Hey, look at so and so is coming back. Just I don't know why we're in that land right now, but we are.
Yep.
I mean, that's. That's just all over pop culture. It's all over the world. Right. It's everywhere.
So the current drivers with young kids, Jamie McMurray, Clint Bowyer, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch.
Cash is going to race.
Cash, dude, he is.
Kevin Harvick. Yeah. There's a lot of young drivers that don't have famous names with kids. So then maybe they become the new generations of family.
I think Cash is going to race, and I will be the first.
He's an ornery little bastard.
I will be the first to buy a Cash Bowyer t-shirt just because I like his name.
And he doesn't pull for his dad.
Who's this guy?
Is it Kyle Busch?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a rival of some sort.
I believe it's Kyle Busch. And I remember hearing a story. Kyle had gotten into a wreck during the race, and they were on their way home or whatever, and Cash was like, Dad, you have to call him. You have to call him. And he called him, and Cash just wanted to make sure, hey, you doing good? He didn't care about his dad or how well his dad finished or, you know, but made sure Kyle was all right.
Yeah, made sure Kyle was all right.
Well, I think that we've got some interesting young drivers coming through the sport. And here in a moment, we'll show a little bit of a clip here when we head to our break.
Did you see, was it last year or year before, that the Ford driver kids got into Mustangs, Power Wheel Mustangs, and they raced on the track. It was Cash and Harvick's son, Keelan.
Yeah,
they raced on, I don't know if it was a front stretch or whatever, or some super speedway, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt in my mind. I'll tell you, here's an obscure name that I thought was going to race but never has really panned out as far as making it. I thought Mark Martin's kid would eventually make it to the big leagues.
Matt Martin would have made it. He didn't want to. He doesn't like racing.
Really?
Yeah, he's been really vocal, but he's proud of his dad. He's not ashamed of racing.
Right.
It's not for him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, for a long time, I thought that Matt Martin would, I'm not saying he would have had great success, but I just thought that eventually he would be a name in the Cup Series.
Right.
I think it's something interesting. So we've talked about, you know, the petty kids and this and that. This is what interview Chris Myers from Fox had, and he's getting this started early, this talk. Let's see what they had to say with Cash Bowyer and Owen Larson.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, which one's Cash and which one's Owen? Are you Cash? You're Cash? Yeah. Hi, I'm Chris, nice to see you. And you're, what's your name?
Owen.
Owen, nice to shake hands, okay. And how old are you?
Yeah, I'm 3.5.
3.5?
I'm 3.
And are you guys buddies? Do you hang out at the racetrack?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite driver?
Daddy.
And Daddy? And you're pointing at the guy Clint Bowyer?
Yeah.
But you were with your dad when he won the race, right, in Victory Lane?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Do you remember what that was like?
Nashville.
Yeah, that was cool. A big moment. What do you get when you win a race?
A trophy.
Owen? Are we boring you? I'm sorry.
Can you want my dad to win? My dad going to win, I think.
Which dad is faster?
I think my dad was
my
faster.
My dad's fast.
My dad's fast.
Can we not fight, please?
That's what I tell drivers all the time. I know you know your dad's cars, but what are some other drivers like the number one car? You know,
Demi Murray.
Right, very good. How about the 48? Jimmy?
Johnson.
Right, and the 48.
Oh, and I need to tell you something.
What?
Do you like dirt cars?
Yeah, I do.
We got a weight model for you in our
room. Can I bring it home?
Sure, you can.
So
we can race to each other.
What happens when two cars run into each other?
Like that. Like red. My dad wrecked last weekend, and his paint job crushed.
He scraped it like that.
Scrape on the ice.
Can you do the sound of a car when it's going really fast? Okay, and you're going to show me your car, right?
Yeah, mine.
Cash, you have a car here?
Yeah.
Go get the car and bring it over. Can you do that? Bring it over here and we'll take a look. Thanks.
Some pretty fun stuff over at NASCAR on Fox. I thought that was one of the coolest little tributes.
I absolutely liked when they asked, what's his name, if he knew who the number one, what was the kid's name?
Cash. Or no, Owen.
Owen.
Owen Larson.
Yeah, I liked when they asked Owen if he knew who the number one was, and he was like, bam, J-Mac, in your face.
Absolutely.
Just like, no hesitation, just...
So that's just really cool to see, you know, young fans and drivers, and, you know, their dads are Cash Boyer mm-hmm. and... Kyle Larson, and you know, those two, both very good at Michigan. Right.
And that Mustang that was in the video, that was one of the Mustangs that they did that race before. It was a pre-race or something, yeah.
Ford Mustang, also good at Michigan. Ford's claimed the most wins all time at Michigan. We're ready for Brooklyn, Michigan. Here we go. 2 miles. Who's your picks? Mr. Morris, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am going to take, of course.
Look at that shitting grin on his face.
He's excessively happy.
I think my boy is finally going to do it. I think this is going to be it. But I think Chase Elliott is, but here's the much more safe pick. A Chevy is going to win this thing.
Wow.
I think Chase Elliott can do it, but I'm very, very firm, 100% sure Chevy takes his baby home.
See, I would have agreed with you about 3 years ago. But here's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Ford wins. We're going to have the Ford power, the Ford speed. I know I picked Almirola, but he's not going to win. He's not going to win, okay?
Well, it's going to be, you're not going to win.
Right. It's going to be Kevin Harvick. He's absolutely unstoppable right now. Kevin Harvick is going to pull this one off, and it's not going to be a close finish. Kevin Harvick's going to dominate. Okay. He's going to close.
Can I have a small rebuttal to that, sir?
Yeah, you do whatever you want, man.
Again, I ask all of you listeners, and I'm not saying he's definitely going to be wrong, but I'm just saying, who would you rather trust? The 2017 champion with 2 wins this year, or one title law that...
You can't even say my name right.
Yeah, what?
Tyler.
No, I said Tyler Law.
I mean, take that stuff out your mouth, man.
What kind of stuff?
Put your teeth in. Can't hear you.
We're going to take our final break of the night. When we come back, I'll tell you who I'm picking, and we'll have closing time. You're watching Race Appeal Radio on Facebook Live.
Kyle Larson got back here at 2:45 this morning after coming second in Knoxville. There is no second place here. Kyle Larson coming to the line with Truex chasing, will win his third time in a row here in Michigan.
And that is the man. That's the one that you want to pick this weekend at Michigan.
And that was the race where he went dirt track racing the night before, right? I mean, like, what'd they say? He didn't get back till like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
That was the one.
Yeah.
This weekend at Michigan... Kyle Larson is the man. What he does at 2 mile racetracks at Michigan and at California is very interesting. It's very dominant. And with the momentum that him and the other Chevrolet drivers have, He's the guy to beat. I'm telling you right now. Logan, I know you want Chase. And Chase is going to have a great week. He'll be a good fantasy pick, but he won't win this week. Look for Kyle Larson to really kick tail. And if not, I think of those alleged class A drivers, Martin Truex. It's time for a little closing time here on Race Appeal Radio. Before we do, I want to say a shout out to our Mott's friends. Daisy Mott's, born 1940, passed away after a 2.5 year battle with cancer last night. We want to offer our blessings, our prayers, and our thoughts to the Mott's family. Daisy Mott's was 78 years old. For our final thoughts of the night, Mr. Lawler, will you go ahead and take the honors? Closing time, final words.
Hey.
Well, I got some
fun. Just hey?
You threw me off, man. I was doing something.
Usually you come to me.
I always go in a different order.
It's usually me at it. Anyway, I got a problem. My final words are going to be a question. They're going to be a question for you two boys. You know, Tyler, you and I have the bet that if I somehow repeat as champion, you'll buy me dinner.
Right.
Right. Can we, on that bet, if I were to win the shipment, can we include her on that
dinner? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Just making sure.
Only, because on the reverse, right, we're including that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we both bring the wives. Right. So, but, we love you, AJ.
So that's your final words.
I have my final words.
Oh, you finally have some ready. Go ahead, man.
I love you both, sir.
So in three words, I can sum up everything about life. It goes on. Get over yourself. You're not going to win. Anyway, and over to you, Mr. Appeal. What's your final thoughts?
Well, usually I would have some final words, and the interesting thing is Kyle Turner of Driller Live alumni, he just joined us. So, Kyle Turner, we want to say hello, and we love you. Unfortunately, Kyle, we're ending the show, man. We love you. We miss you, but we can't hang around too long.
It's closing time. It's time for me to go to bed.
Can we get an AO?
AO! My final words, as I always say at the end of every show, please smile and be happy. To our friends at Liquid Ice Energy, high performance. If you don't know about them, ask somebody. If they don't know about them, smack somebody. To T-Mobile and Jax Wax and Ford and NASCAR and all of you, AJ Appeal, signing out for the final time. Smile, be happy. We love you all. Take care, friends.